This is the audio presentation covering the assignments in Greek lessons 12 and 13. Please open your textbook to page 223, where Mr. Ayres introduces yet another set of Greek suffixes, beginning with logy, L-O-G-Y, meaning the science of or a systematic study of. To those meanings, please add the system of and a list of. You already know the root underlying this suffix, the base log, L-O-G, meaning speech, word, proportion, or reasoning, along with a bunch of other meanings. That gives you two options when you encounter logy, to read it as a suffix or as the base log with the suffix y. The former, the suffix option, is simpler and more accurate, since it tailors the use of this root toward the way in which logy usually affects the meaning of a word. So I'd advise you to use the suffix option. But, as you know, I won't take off points as long as you follow the rules for etymologizing. Note, however, that the actual etymology assumes that log is a base because it often calls for the combining O seen between Greek bases. Thus, in order to read this form as a suffix when that happens, we need to add a variant, ology, O-L-O-G-Y. Please do that. For the same reason, the next suffix, nomy, N-O-M-Y, meaning the science of or the system of laws governing, will require the same accommodation. Please add the variant onomy, O-N-O-M-Y. You'll need that form to etymologize a word like astronomy, meaning the science of the stars. And yes, there is a Greek base nom, N-O-M, meaning law or science, but you don't need to know it in this class. I probably should add it, but I know you'd revolt if I put one more extra thing to memorize on your plate, so I'm not going to push my luck. Comparing these two suffixes, ology and onomy, reveals a strong tendency to associate ology with sciences, geology, biology, psychology, and onomy with arts, as in gastronomy, meaning the art of cooking, versus gastrology, the science of the stomach. That tendency, however, falters with astronomy, where the onomy form represents the science and the ology form, astrology, is the art. That's because astrology, the mystical interpretation of the movements of heavenly bodies as signs of things to come, has been such a popular activity since antiquity, and the word astrology has been so closely associated with it for so long that it has proven impossible to separate the word astrology from the magical practice of prediction, which means that scientists who study stars have had to settle for astronomy, and the general tendency that ology refers to a science is reversed in this one word pair. Skipping over crazy, about which I have nothing to add, note that Mr. Ayres gives one who advocates or practices rule by as the definition of the last suffix here, krat. Doesn't that bend, if not break, the rule that definitions should get to the point? How about something a little less verbose? One who rules by? On to the bases in lesson 12. To the first one, ought, A-U-T, meaning self, add the senses by itself and on its own. And please note that ought is a base, not a prefix. It can form the core of a word, for example, automaton. I'm guessing you already knew this base, because we English speakers use it so much we really see it as our own, and thus we attach it freely to other word roots. That habit has produced a host of hybrids, autoimmune, autopilot, automobile. I give up. English is just a giant hybridized mess. I'm going in my office and closing the door. Call me when the English language decides to clean up its act. I won't hold my breath. Further down this list, you'll see the base heli, H-E-L-I, meaning sun. Note that Greek gives us another base that's close to but different from heli, helic, meaning curl or coil, From that we get the word helix, as in double helix. Ayres does not include helix in this textbook, so you don't have to learn it. But you will encounter this base in your reading, so it's not a bad idea to know it. By the way, helium is so called because the element was first discovered when scientists were analyzing the solar spectrum. So, helium is the sun element. Be careful not to confuse the next base, IDE, which both means idea and gives us that word, with the base you learned in the last lesson, IDI, meaning one's own or private. They look alike, but they're not related. To manc, M-A-N-C, mant, M-A-N-T, add the sense to prophesy. To divine by means of? Seriously, Mr. Ayres, that's a terrible definition. How many people do you think know what divining means? Like a divining rod, which uses magic to find underground water or buried metal ore. Forget that definition. Manc mant means prophesy, or sometimes priest, because priests tend to prophesy. Hey, here's something else I'll bet not many of you know. The etymology of the word praying mantis. You know what I mean, that cool-looking insect that holds its front legs up in a position which makes it look like it's praying. So even though it's a predator, it's not a praying with an E mantis. It's praying with an A, like prayer. But that's not my point. The point is, it is a mantis, a Greek word for priest or prophesier. The scientific name of this creature says it all. Mantis religiosa. Sounds like a spell in Harry Potter. Now, get down on your knees and thank your teacher, because now you'll never forget how to spell praying with an A, mantis. One of my favorite derivatives of the next base, micra, M-I-C-R, meaning small, is microbe. It's a combination of the base micra, and please remember that it's a base, not a prefix, and another Greek base, bi, B-I, meaning life. Compare microbial. So microbe really should be microbe. Microbe. But that just sounds silly. Dignified scientists can't go around saying, microbes are everywhere. Besides that, the Greek roots lend themselves better to the meaning short-lived, which I suppose is also true of microbes, but that's not the point. The point is, they're little. Besides small, micra can also mean a millionth part of. Just for the record, the Latin base mil, M-I-L-L, meaning thousand, is used to denote a thousandth part of. And on the other side of micra, nan, N-A-N, connotes a billionth part of. Remember when we studied the base ni, N-E, meaning new, and said it could also refer to the most recent period of some age, like the Neolithic, the New Stone Age? Well, the opposite of ni is the eighth base on this list, pale, P-A-L-E, meaning old. It can also be used in reference to periods of time, like the most ancient period of the Stone Age, the Paleolithic, literally the Old Stone Age. Next to the next base, sued, P-S-E-U-D, put a note that this is a base, not a prefix, and can stand alone in a word like the adjective pseudo, meaning sham or counterfeit. Finally, the base trop, T-R-O-P, meaning turn, at the bottom of this list, looks like another Greek base, troph, T-R-O-P-H, which we encountered in Lesson 4. Troth means grow. Don't confuse these two. That's it for Lesson 12. Now let's look at the suffixes and bases in Lesson 13, beginning on page 228. Here you'll find some complicated suffixes used in specific, often technical or scientific senses. All of these suffixes really come from bases, and so can be etymologized that way, but I advise against it, since these forms have come to be seen as specialized suffixes with particular, usually technical senses, which can not only affect the meaning of a base, but also change its function, that is, turn it into a noun, adjective, or verb. Thus, while the suffixes arch or arc and archy come from the base arch, A-R-C-H, meaning chief or head, they almost always betoken rule or ruler. Also note that the suffix maniac, M-A-N-I-A-C, is technically an adjective but functions almost always as a noun. What do you call that sort of word, an adjective functioning as a noun? That's right, a substantive. Make your life easy and just treat maniac as a noun-forming suffix. Finally, as to the last suffix on this list, phobia, P-H-O-B-I-A, at the top of the next page, I would put the abnormal part of the definition, an abnormal fear or hatred of, in parentheses. What's abnormal about arachnophobia? Spiders are creepy. Now let's talk about the bases in this lesson. The first one, acra, A-C-R, meaning highest or the extremities, is cognate with its Latin homonym, which means sharp or bitter. The top of something is often pointed, so the Romans used acra in the sense sharp, while the Greeks adopted the connotation top. Those are just two different ways of seeing the same thing. Note also that to the Greeks, the top could also mean the first part of something, as in acronym, which refers to the first letter or letters of a word. To the next base, ego, E-G-O, add the sense self. And to the following base, higher, H-I-E-R, meaning sacred, add the senses priest and saint. The next base, hydra, H-Y-D-R, meaning water, has some interesting cognates, such as English water, wet, otter, and whiskey. When this base entered Russian, it turned into vodka, which is to some, I suppose, the stuff of life. Mega, M-E-G-A, also megal, M-E-G-A-L, the next base, meaning large or a million, also carries the sense a million times, making it the opposite of micra. The term megadeth, a hideous hybrid for a hideous concept, refers to casualties as counted in the millions, usually in reference to a proposed nuclear attack. Olig, O-L-I-G, means few, often with the sense chosen few. That is, those who are select and special, and typically also rich. Both pater, P-A-T-R, and patri, P-A-T-R-I, come from the Greek base for father, but patri with an I more often refers to a family or clan, hence Ayres's definition. But like its Latin twin, it can also betoken fatherland. To soph, S-O-P-H, meaning wise, add the sense the knowledge of. So, what's a sophomore? Oh, you haven't learned the base more, M-O-R in Greek. Well, you know it if you know the word moron, meaning fool. So a sophomore is a wise fool. In other words, someone who's been to school for a year and comes back thinking he knows everything. Hence the adjective sophomoric, meaning pretentious and ill-informed. The definition of tele, T-E-L-E, too needs some adumbration. Look it up. Its sense, afar, also means from afar. Telephones carry voices both to someone who is afar and back to someone else from afar. The next base, Zen, X-E-N, meaning stranger or foreigner, is cognate with English guest or host. So what is xenogamy? One of the example words Ayres provides. Well, what does the gamma base mean? That's right, marry. Now think plants. When plants marry strangers, what are they doing? Cross-fertilizing, of course. And finally, the last base on this list, zo, z-o, meaning animal, clearly can assume a variant form ZOO, as in zoo. And that's it. We're done with Greek lessons 12 and 13. Happy etymologizing!